The Truth News Network.
Only you can prevent glorifying lies. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
Dan Newman.
Jussie Smollett. Guilt or innocence? 16 indictments were issued against Jussie Smollett by a Cook County grand jury on Friday, March 8th. And those indictments are each a felony indictment. Yes, a person is always, under U.S. law, innocent until proven guilty. And no, Jussie has not yet been proven guilty. So why have the lines formed of people who are demonstratively declaring his guilt or declaring his innocence? I think it's because to be that Smollett attempted to in some way use the system, his ethnicity, his fame, along with his sexual preference, to sway the court of public opinion for some personal advantage. That in itself, if true, is sad on many levels. But there's more to this story and its ramifications that haven't been but should be discussed. If allegations against him contained in these 16 felony indictments are proven in court, and he is found guilty, this case will prove to be just one more blight on today's international media stage. This case so far has been nothing more than a three-ring circus. Want to guess what specifically is on display in each of those three circus rings? Jussie Smollett is famous. That's ring number one. I've always heard this, and you probably have to yourself. Fame always comes with a price. Maybe Jussie is finding that out firsthand. He began his career as a child actor way back in 1987, acting in films including The Mighty Ducks in 92, Rob Reiner's North in 94. In 2015, Smollett attracted attention and received a highly positive critical reception for his portrayal of musician Jamal Lyon in the Fox drama series Empire. Smollett has also appeared in Ridley Scott's science fiction film Alien Covenant in 2017 as Ricks and in Marshall 2017 as Langston Hughes. He doesn't just act. Smollett signed a recording contract with Columbia Records and would be releasing an album in the future based on that contract. Smollett co-wrote the songs I Want to Love You and You're So Beautiful on the original soundtrack from season one of Empire album, which was released in March of 2015. In March of 2018, Smollett released his debut album, Some of My Music. Of course, his current fame stems chiefly from his starring role in the series Empire. It has been alleged that part of this circus that has consumed his life of late came from his desire to get more fame and subsequent money from pay increase for his role in that series. Alleged is the magic word. Ring number two, Jussie Smollett is gay. Smollett came out as gay during a televised interview with the Ellen DeGeneres Show in March of 2015. In a 2016 interview with Out, he clarified his sexual orientation by stating this, "If I had to label myself, I would label myself as a gay man." However, he stated his belief that openness to love is more important than gender, revealing that if I fall in love down the road with a woman, I'm going to love that woman, he said. When Smollett's gay character from Empire engaged in a tryst with a female character, Smollett defended the plot development by stating that he and Empire's creator Lee Daniels were trying to create a conversation about sexual fluidity in the gay community. Daniels has stated that while he and Smollett are both gay, they both occasionally want to have sex with women. Daniels stated that we're showing life on Empire and that both he and Smollett were incorporating their own sexual fluidity as gay men into the show. Smollett told his parents he was gay when he was 19. What's in Jussie Smollett's ring number three? He's African American. Smollett grew up in Santa Rosa, California, a small city in the wine country about 50 miles north of San Francisco, one of my personal favorites on the West Coast. He is the third of six children of Janet Harris and Joel Smollett. He has three brothers, two sisters, Jake, Jacque, JoJo, Jernay, and Jazz, several of whom are also actors. Smollett is actually biracial. His mother is African American, and his father was Jewish. His family immigrated from Russia and Poland. Smollett has said that his father would have, quote, killed you if you called him white. And this circus, that's not going to have just three rings. We're going to add a fourth. The fourth Smollett ring, Jussie is a professional entertainer. Yeah, I know it's a three-ring circus, but in Jussie's case, he's got that fourth one, and it's an important one. Of course, we've all seen in past years the never-ending Hollywood circus. I don't know exactly why, but it seems that folks who breathe Hollywood air and who work in the entertainment field, that's acting, directing, music, and that list goes on and on, they have a propensity to concentrate on self-awareness. Jussie is definitely qualified as a member of that group. Smollett gets a lot of support from the rich and famous. On January 30th of 2019, public figures expressed support for Smollett on social media. That's when this attack, this alleged attack, came out. Entertainment industry figures, including Shonda Rhimes and Viola Davis, tweeted their outrage over the attack and their support for Smollett. Democratic senators and presidential candidates Kamala Harris and Cory Booker both described the attacks as an attempted modern-day lynching. Booker urged Congress to pass a federal anti-lynching bill co-sponsored by him and Harris. Smollett faced skepticism regarding his claim of being attacked. He responded by saying that he believed that if he had said his attackers were Mexicans, Muslims, or black people, the doubters would have supported me much more. And that says a lot about the place that we are in our country right now. Entertainment industry figures who worked with Smollett speculated about what may have motivated the actor to stage that hate crime. Some of the cast members of Empire believe that Smollett might have gotten the idea to stage a hate crime after the show's creator, Lee Daniels, discussed a homophobic assault against his cousin with the show's cast. Smollett's co-stars theorized that the actor might have wanted to gain Daniels' favor and become an LGBT hero by staging the attack. Director Lucian Reed drew a connection between the hoax and a May 2018 episode of the Epix series America Divided about lynching, which he directed. Smollett narrated and appeared in that episode. Epix also released a statement saying, quote, "With respect to the sensitivities around recent events, Epix is no longer making available the episode of America Divided featuring Jussie Smollett." So what happened to Jussie? You may be a little bit surprised when we give you some answers. Straight ahead on Truth News Network.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant.
Real truth, real news, TNN, the Truth News Network.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
This is the truth your mama warned you about. TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.
And Dan Newman.
So what really happened to Jussie? A recent Billboard magazine article talked about a widespread lack of awareness about the importance of mental health in the jazz, hip-hop, LA music community. Six up-and-coming artists were invited to discuss how they took care of themselves. Among them, Jussie Smollett, who, in addition to his own fledgling solo musical career, played Jamal Lyon, a singer on the hit Fox series Empire. Smollett stressed the importance of honesty in his own internal struggles. Quote, "I admit that I'm jealous. I admit that I'm insecure and that I'm not good at certain things," he said. Then in a comment that didn't get any attention at the time, Smollett suggested that these pressures might be catching up to him. I'm in my 30s, he said, and I'm trying my best to learn that I can't bend anymore. I'm about to break. 6 months later, he may have done just that. On January 19th of this year, the actor tweeted, "Depression is a real thing, y'all." 3 days later, a threatening letter targeting Smollett arrived at the Empire production offices in Chicago. And a week after that, the actor told Chicago police that two masked assailants had attacked him in a wealthy Chicago neighborhood as he walked home from a subway at 2 a.m. while he was on the phone with his music manager, Brandon Moore. Because Smollett, who is black and openly gay, identified his attackers as white males who shouted, "This is MAGA country," and claimed they hung a noose around his neck, his case was immediately held up as an example of the growing problem of hate crimes in the Trump era. In Hollywood, where the alleged attack played perfectly into the community's worst fears about prejudice, support for Smollett was strident. Robin Roberts interviewed him sympathetically on Good Morning America. Ellen Page called out the Trump administration for the incident on The Colbert Show. There are no doctors here at Truth News Network. There's no way for us to draw any meaningful and educated decisions about what has been going on with Smollett and what could lead him down the path on which he now finds himself. One would think he has some personal issues that fed this narrative. One can only speculate about what they might be, and speculation ran amok in the early days following the report of the alleged hate crime. Speculation like we see and hear in this NBC report.
Jussie Smollett says that attack happened just a short distance from here. Today, police don't have any suspects or even a solid description of the men, a reported crime that has rattled Hollywood and just about everyone else. I'll never be big enough
to pay your dues. Jussie Smollett, a longtime actor and star on the hit TV show Empire, tells police he's the victim of a brutal beating that took place on this Chicago street. Investigators say they're treating the reported attack as a possible hate crime.
Can you head over and check in a bear report?
Early Tuesday morning, Smollett says he was approached by two men yelling out racial and homophobic slurs. Investigators say he was attacked. An unknown chemical substance was poured on him. Police adding, at some point, one of them wrapped a rope around the victim's neck. Smollett told police the men yelled, "This is MAGA. Make America Great Again country." The actor took himself to a hospital.
"You didn't deserve, nor anybody deserves, to have a noose put around your neck, to have bleach thrown on you."
Lee Daniels, Empire's creator, posted then deleted this photo of Smollett, calling the attack a cowardly act. With no suspects or even a description, today detectives say they've expanded the search area for cameras. But thus far, no video of the alleged assailants or a vehicle has been discovered. One of Smollett's friends says he spoke to the actor hours before the reported incident.
"It's just further evidence of the vitriol that is going on in our country and that is growing."
"Y'all are so much fun."
Smollett, who recently appeared on Today with his brother and sisters, is an outspoken social justice activist and an advocate for the gay community. He came out to Ellen in 2015.
"I get some ignorant tweets every once in a while."
This morning, a flood of support from well-wishers and big names on social media. Kerry Washington, Reese Witherspoon, Viola Davis, and Steve Harvey tweeting this video.
"This is about coming to the aid of another brother that has tasted the brutality of hatred, racism, and bigotry."
The NAACP and GLAAD also among the chorus condemning the heinous crime, the one Smollett says took place on these Chicago streets.
This morning, police have still not classified this as a hate crime because their investigation is still ongoing. Smollett is said to be recovering well, according to his family.
I doubt anyone will ever be able to provide an accurate why answer for Jussie's creation of this alleged crime. Certainly many factors contributed. Disdain for President Trump, struggling with mental and professional pressure he felt, whether real or perceived job stress and personal insecurities. Honestly, most every American deals with those issues in their life at some point. And thankfully, most of Americans do not find themselves where Smollett is today. Career destroyed, dozens if not hundreds of friendships ended because of his betrayal, disdain more than ever for being gay, and nowhere to turn for a peaceful way out. It's a good thing that most Americans have the resources that come through family members, friends, business associates, and medical professionals necessary to successfully work through the issues that apparently drove Smollett to this point in his life. In his case, however, it seems that all the things and circumstances that gave him the fame and fortune in which he found himself are actually major contributors, if not the contributors, to the state of mind that created the hate hoax scenario surrounding Jussie Smollett. Now, we have been accused of being too hard on the media at Truth News Network, and sometimes we are. But in this century and in this decade, everyone needs to understand the power of media and communication. And those in media of every kind need to understand that with that power comes responsibility. Jussie himself railed loudly and constantly against this president. I doubt Smollett stopped to consider the power of his words, of his political stances given in public, that even though were his own opinions, in most instances were swallowed by his followers as being factual. Why is that? His fame and his universal support by those in his industry. Unfortunately, success in the U.S. entertainment industry resonates to many who watch and listen in as representing integrity, honesty, and therefore draw total acceptance. Maybe Jussie just flipped out. Maybe he really believes the extent of American racism he expressed. Maybe he really believes President Trump is a racist, Islamophobe, and homophobe. If that is true, we could more easily understand his acting on those beliefs in the manner in which he did. We don't know, and we probably will never know for sure. But one thing is certain. The American media fawn over those in entertainment from Hollywood and Manhattan and elsewhere in the U.S., and it seems to be the same thing in American politics and even professional sports. Heretofore, those in the media have rejected any calls for responsibility on their part. In a way, they're justified in doing that. Their reasoning? The media, in part, are the driving sources for the monumental adoration of Americans for all of those in movies, music, and pro sports. Without the media coverage, they maintain, those stars in sports and entertainment would not have anything close to the adoration of those adoring fans that they now experience. For that, the media have forsaken any responsibility for any Jussie Smollett stories or those like that of any others. And there are many. I'll close today with a personal story to help explain what, why, and how Jussie Smollett happened. In 2006, I owned a professional football team, an Arena Football League team. The availability of a really good quarterback was made known to me by an assistant coach for the Dallas Cowboys. Quincy Carter became available when the Cowboys released him, and no other NFL team picked him up. If he was so good, why did the Cowboys cut him, and why did no other NFL team sign him? I was asked. There's a reason, or two, or three. Believe me. Quincy grew up in Georgia. He was a stellar athlete who was pampered because of his outstanding abilities from a very young age. He excelled in middle school. He picked apart defenses of high school football opponents. He rocked the Southeastern Conference playing for the University of Georgia. And he was the first quarterback to take the Dallas Cowboys to the NFL playoffs since Troy Aikman. But Quincy had some issues. Few knew that he was the victim of bipolar disorder. He had dramatic mood swings that were seemingly uncontrollable and were definitely unavoidable. When diagnosed, the prescribed medication worked well at helping to control his wild swings in temperament and concentration. But he hated taking the prescription medicine. It left him feeling funny. How do I know that? He told me that all the time. He tried marijuana. Marijuana worked for him. Quincy, while at the University of Georgia, began self-medicating with marijuana. Marijuana was not acceptable not only in the National Football League, but in the Arena Football League. Quincy's pro football career was over in the NFL unless we could help. We were called to see if we could work with him in the AFL and get him back to doing the right things medically. We agreed, but I had one condition. Quincy had to agree to drug treatment prior to our 2006 season and throughout the season. And he had to take drug tests every week. Additionally, he had to speak to a chosen by our team doctors drug counselor every day, 7 days a week during the season, either in person or by telephone when the team was traveling. And that went really well at first. Quincy was a football phenomenon at quarterback. He comfortably made the transition from outdoor football to indoor, and the field half the size as that of the outdoor field. He easily won the starting job in training camp for our team. We started our season 5-0, primarily because of Quincy. He was benched for game 6 for team infractions, and we lost. Then Quincy came back with his head straight. He led us to the conference championship game against our arch rival. We only lost that game on a freak play. During that season, we saw firsthand why the Jussie Smollett's and Quincy Carter's and others in similar shoes fought different demons from most of the rest of us. Quincy was a god in Texas. By way of example, we played against 5 Texas teams in our division. Every time we played at one of those Texas team stadiums, they sold out. Their fans came to the game wearing Quincy Carter Dallas Cowboy jerseys, not those of their home team. And after games, Quincy was flooded with fans getting his autograph and a picture taken with him. Media interviews had to be closely monitored and scheduled. All through our league, conversations about Quincy Carter were top of the news all season long. The week after we lost that conference championship game, Quincy was arrested for DWI. The culprit? Marijuana. Now, we cannot blame that on the media. We cannot blame that on rampant fan support. We can't blame that on Quincy's upbringing in Georgia. We can't even blame it on the marijuana. But each one of those things in Quincy's life was a huge contributing factor in the fall of Quincy Carter. Jussie Smollett, just like all of us, has a bunch of stuff in his closet, like Quincy. Some of it, Jussie's friends and family members knew about. There are probably other things Jussie keeps in that closet and with the closet door closed tightly. So what should Quincy have done about those things in his closet? What about Jussie? What about you and me? I'm fairly certain there's no absolute answer to those questions. But one answer that I do know for certain, doing nothing about them is never the right answer. So next time we see or hear about the failure of a movie or television star, a college or professional basketball, baseball, football, soccer, or golf star that has failed, let's think through these and other possible factors that usually together put that person in the position in their life where that failure happens. And while we're trying to understand, remember this, but for the grace of God, that could be me. This is the first story of this week in a series. We're talking about some very serious issues going on in the United States of America. Make sure you tune in tomorrow to get the second one of this week, right here at Truth News Network. So long, everybody.
Undeniably the go-to source for nonpartisan, spin-free news from the world.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.